Bible basics. I want to make you literate in the Bible. I think that Bible illiteracy, meaning not able to read and understand or even like talk about the Bible, is dangerous. And so by the time you leave Sunday school, I want you to be able to know a little bit more about what the Bible is. Today, I want to talk about how the Bible is for study. And when I'm talking about study, I do actually mean, yeah, you need to read it and you need to learn about it, look stuff up, understand it, all of that stuff. So I'm not even talking about a spiritual sense right now, okay? I will talk about a spiritual sense, but right now I just want you to even just think about like, yeah, you need to read it to study it. I don't think that the Bible is an easy book to read and understand. I think it's kind of hard. I don't think it's like a... I don't think it's like a history book where, or like a history textbook in school where you just read it, right? And it's like stories and facts and that's just, you take it as it is at face value. No, I think you can read the Bible that way. I think some passages do lend itself that way. But I do think that sometimes you need to try to study a little bit harder to see what the Bible is actually saying. And that also means that you don't twist the Bible to try to make it say what you want it to say, right? You read it to understand what the author intended it to say. That's part of Bible interpretation. Hey, man, we'll go into that later. But just to recap, if you remember last week, I talked about how the Bible is holy. Do you guys remember this? I talked about how the Bible is holy, not in the sense of that the Bible is sinless, but in the sense that it's a sacred book. Hey, guys. Hey, what's up? That the Bible is holy. So it's sacred, okay? It's not sinless, but it is a little bit sacred. What's not sacred, what's not even like considered like necessarily like proper of the Bible are the verses and chapters. Okay, I don't know if you've ever considered this before, but the verses and chapters are not actually like, we don't believe that that's actually given to us by God. Okay, we actually believe that that's something that man implemented in order for us to read and better understand the Bible. And so when you think about John 3:16, it's not like God said, okay, John 3:16, right? God so loved the world. He didn't do that, right? The book of John was given to John to write down without chapters and verses. A lot of times there weren't even like breaks in the text. So man actually had to come along and try to discern like where would be good chapters for the book to flow. And so I just want you to kind of realize that, understand that the chapters and the verses in the Bible, they're not sacred. Those are tools to help us understand and read the Bible better. Now, apart from the actual like text of the Bible, there are different tools for us to help us read and understand. One of them being the chapters and verses. But another one would be study Bibles, and you guys probably have used study Bibles before. Now, study Bibles are special Bibles where not only does it have the text on top, but it also has notes on the bottom. Okay, so for instance, this is, I'll show you John 3:16 again. So if I go to John 3:16, good morning. If I go to John 3:16, you'll see that it also has some comments down here on the bottom. And this talks about God so loved the world. And then there's a note here that says, God's love for the world made it possible for whoever believes in Christ, not just Jews alone, to have eternal life. Okay, and so it's talking about how, like, when it talks about the world, it's not just the Jewish people, but it's Jews and Gentiles. And, you know, there's some notes that go more in depth than others. But these notes are not from God, right? God did not say, okay, I'm going to write John 3:16 and then I'm going to give you a study note down here. No, these are written by man. So these are not, would not be considered holy or sacred, these notes, all right? And you can't read them as if they're holy and sacred. You read them as if they're a helpful tool for you to use to understand the Bible. You'll see that in study Bibles, there's also like other like little, I don't know, like features, I guess. Like this is a did you know feature. It says the phrase born again Christian originally comes from John chapter 3. Jesus uses the image of second birth to explain what happens to believers at conversion. The Holy Spirit cleanses them from sin and makes them new in Christ. So, you know, it takes like terminology maybe and just makes it a little bit more plain for people to understand. But a study Bible is a great tool for you to use because it's sort of like an all-in-one reference for you as you're reading God's word. So you read the Bible and then you can like read the notes. Now, a lot of people will just go straight to the notes, right? And I don't think that's the right way to do it. If you're really seeking to understand God's word, you'll read the text first and you'll work with God within the text using the notes as a supplement because the notes are not actual scripture. The notes are not considered God's word, okay? There's also like things in a study Bible that will serve you well if you ever use study Bibles. Like for instance, here's Isaiah. They present like a timeline of where it falls into the biblical story. It gives you like, talks about the author, talks about the themes in the book, so you can get a broad overview of it. And then it also gives you like an overview of the book. This is a simplified overview, which breaks down the book into chunks. And it gives you big thematic themes and maybe key verses. Like right here, here's key themes that stand out in the book. And then right here is an introduction, including the outline. So here's an outline of the text, an outline. So that gives you like even broader overview. And then sometimes they include maps and helps, so you can actually pinpoint, okay, this is where it happened in biblical history. Anyways, it seems like nerdy, but it's actually incredibly useful as you're doing more in-depth study. It really grounds you in the book. It anchors you. So that way you're not just reading it and it's like nebulous, but you can actually pinpoint where stuff is and you can follow the flow of the book. For preaching and teaching, it's indispensable. Like it will allow you to quickly find stuff and quickly like get you into the context of the text without having to like, okay, I gotta read the whole book and figure it out. No, it's really useful. So anyways, a study Bible, very good for getting more in-depth stuff. Now, this other part, number three, that I want to talk about are commentaries. A commentary is different than a study Bible because a study Bible takes the entire Bible and puts notes on it, right? A commentary typically looks at one book of the Bible and then we'll just write commentary on that book. And those are huge. So what I did was, on my website, I have a list of like recommended commentaries. So I just want to share with you some of these. This is like a commentary for the book of Romans, where it's like, this one book, but only for the book of Romans. And the author in this case, it's author Andrew David Nicelli, and he walks you through the entire book of Romans, giving commentary on it. Here's another one for Matthew. This series is actually one of my favorites, and this is like Evangelical Biblical Theology Commentary. So there's different like types of branches of theology, right? And there's different like ways people can interpret the Bible. Sometimes you get things that are more like liberal and some more conservative. So this, by being an evangelical biblical theology commentary, the fact that's evangelical gives me a little bit key insight into, okay, they're coming from this sort of background. I don't know. There's just different types of commentaries. It's not like every commentary comes from the same exact background. No, there's different types of commentaries. Let me show you this one. This is a big one. This is the ESV Expository Commentary. And so this commentary is written specifically for like pastors and preachers, people that will preach and exposit God's word. So not only do you have different types of backgrounds for the people who write these commentaries, but you also have different commentaries for different purposes. Like some commentaries will be for research purposes, where they might go more into like the author's background and like, this word in here comes from this like source. You know, it's just different ways to look at the text. And these are all helpful. I would trust all of these right here. Like I said, there are some that are a little bit more liberal, and our church is a little bit more on the conservative side. So you also have to look and see what exactly you're looking for. But of course, at the end of the day, these commentaries are not God's word either, right? So you have to be careful about what you look at. And as Christians, we actually believe that it's not up to the Pope or some scholar to read and interpret the Bible for us, but we do actually believe that you can do it yourself and God will speak to you. So those are commentaries. Now, what I want to use the bulk of this time for, at least in this section, this Bible basics section, is to actually talk about what we're studying, right? What are we actually studying when we study the Bible? The history of the author and the genre of literature, those are incredibly important. But what's most important is what is the meaning of the text, okay? What's the meaning of the text? And what I mean by that is, what is the author trying to say and communicate to me, right? Because when you're reading something, you're reading what somebody wrote down, and the communication happens, right, as you take in the information. Now, I can easily read something and just straight up misinterpret it, right? And that would be wrong, a wrong way to read the Bible. Or I can read it, and I can say, oh, it could mean this, but it could also mean this. And then you twist it to make it fit what you want it to say. You can also just miss the point entirely. You can read something and say, oh, that's talking about this, when in reality, it's not even talking about that. It's talking about something else. Let me try to give you an example. So Genesis 1:1, okay? Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I could read that and I could say, oh, this verse in the Bible talks about how evolution is wrong and we need to believe that God did not make people evolve. Okay, whether you believe that or not, okay, that what I just did right there, that was not what the author intended. The author who wrote that did not intend to talk about evolution. So do you see how I just kind of took our like things we talk about today and put it on the text instead? The meaning of that text is that God created the heavens and the earth. God is our creator. That's what the meaning is of that text. You can also say, oh, the meaning of that text is that God just is, right? Like God, the Bible doesn't have to defend who God is. He just is right there at the very beginning. So anyways, that would be like an example, I guess. As you're reading and you're trying to interpret what the Bible says, this is the question that you're consistently asking. What is the meaning of the text? And the author's meaning is most important. The process to get to this is this: observation, interpretation, application. So that's the correct way to go about reading the Bible. First, you read it and you observe what the Bible is saying. Okay, you don't just be like, oh, I'm just going to read it and casually just take it in. That's one way to read it. But if you're really going to study it, you actually have to observe what's going on. Bless you. You actually have to make notes and look at the details and consider like the surrounding passages and the surrounding context and look at other books of the Bible. That's what it means to observe, right? You're playing the role of a detective. And you're trying to discern, well, what exactly is going on here? That's what it means to make observations. After you do that, then you can interpret. Then you can take all the facts, take everything that you observed, right? Like a detective, you put it together, and then you say, okay, well, what is the picture that I'm seeing here? What is the end result? What am I supposed to realize from this? Okay, that's what it means to interpret. After you get that piece, after you know what it's saying, then you apply it to your life. Okay, now these steps, they need to go in order, right? You can't just look at a text and say, okay, how do I apply this? No, you need to go through these steps in order to get to a correct application. Christians study the Bible to understand what God is saying and apply it to our lives.